Welcome to episode 575 of Flyaway. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Anna, and this week I'm joined by fellow travel agents, Sandy and Donna. We are also welcoming Outlander Travel's marketing associate extraordinaire, Angela.
Yay!
So, konnichiwa and welcome. In this week's episode, we're following Angela's adventure through Japan's most iconic cities, Kyoto, Tokyo, and Osaka. From Kyoto's serene temples and winding alleys steeped in tradition, to Tokyo's buzzing neon streets where ancient shrines meet skyscrapers, and on to Osaka's vibrant neighborhoods and famous cuisine, get ready to discover Japan's blend of timeless beauty and modern flair. So let's get started.
This sounds awesome, Angela.
It does. And we just learned that Angela spent an amazing 17 days there. So there's lots to cover. Yeah. So
a lot.
Yes. So let's start from the beginning. Where did you tell us where you started? It looks like you started in Tokyo. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you fly to Tokyo? Okay.
We did. We flew into Tokyo's Haneda Airport, which is the one that's closer to the city center. And we were there for, I think, 4 days. And then we moved. After that, we went to Kyoto and then Osaka, and then we went back to Tokyo for the final 2 days before flying back.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So I guess we'll start with Tokyo. I'll be honest, I've never been to Japan, and it's not really been on my radar, but I don't know. After this, it might be. So you've got to convince me to go, Angela. So tell me about Tokyo. What did you do in Tokyo?
We did so many things. I would say that the majority of what we did in Tokyo was just wandering around like the numerous different neighborhoods, or like, you know, because Tokyo is like the big city, and then within that there's all the different neighborhoods, or, you know, like the small
kind of like New York.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, each area is known for a different thing. Like, we stayed in Shibuya, which is, you know, where the Shibuya crossing is, where, you know, that's like where there's millions of people cross it like every day. I don't know if that's true, but it's very, very busy. Probably. And very, very crowded. And it's known for like the shopping and the nightlife. And it's like kind of like the party area. And so we did a lot of shopping.
Did you party?
No. I was way too tired to party.
That's what happens when you have one of those big transatlantic or transpacific flights.
Yeah, yeah. We were able to get some sleep on the flight, and like we didn't get to our hotel the first day until like 8 p.m. So we were tired. We just went to bed, and then we were up at like 5 a.m. the next day. And something about Japan that is, a lot of places aren't open until later in the day, like 10, 11 o'clock. So there's really not a whole lot that goes on early in the morning. So it's encouraged to go and spend your time at the temples and, you know, the places that get like very crowded if they're open. Mm-hmm. So we explored like the parks and things like that. And anything that was open that early, we tried to go and check that out.
I have a question about the logistics of just getting around the city.
Yeah.
How did you find that? Was it easy? I mean, you don't speak Japanese, right? Or read it, right?
So I don't speak Japanese. My husband does speak some. He's been teaching himself Japanese for the past like 15 years. So though I will say, you know, he's not fluent. So he did struggle a lot, but Google Translate was a huge help. Like, we just kind of Google translated everything. But I will say that when you get to the airport, we bought a Welcome Suica card, which is their transit system, their subways and trains and buses and stuff. And that was a pretty easy process. And then we use Google Maps, which was very, that's what, you know, we watched a million and one TikToks about the logistics and everything. And that's what everyone suggested was the best thing to do. And it really worked great for us. You know, it tells you exactly where to enter a subway station, what line to get on, what train car to get on for the best, fastest exit. And, you know, what exit to leave out of. Google Maps. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So when you're just like to get it straight in my head. So you're waiting for a train. Can you, do they have stuff in English so that you can?
Oh yeah. Tell? Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I would imagine that Tokyo would have like, you know, but it's such a different, not even the same alphabet. So
Yeah. Pretty much all of their signs in the subway stations and everything are in Japanese and in English. There's a lot of stuff that was also in English for signage wise.
Nice.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, and like inside the trains, they have like little TV screens up above the doors that show you like which direction you're going, what the next stop is. And it, they say the announcements in Japanese and in English.
Oh, cool.
Oh, very. Okay. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So it was really,
that would be really, stuff would be really stressful. If
yeah. It was scary at first, but once we did it one time, it was like, okay, that was pretty easy. And it was like that most of the time, with the exception of when we got to Kyoto, it was a little different. Like the way the trains are set up in Tokyo is like each line has its own letter and color. And so it's easy to follow that because it's the same through all of the stations. But when you get to Kyoto, it's a little different. They don't. Sometimes the sign would show the train line is brown, but other times it's red. So that kind of tripped us up a little bit. But again, Google Maps was the biggest help for sure.
Huh. Cool. All right.
Nice.
That's good to know. Good to know. So what else did you do? And I know you said that you did some stuff in the morning. So how long were you in Tokyo the first time?
We were in Tokyo for 4 days, I believe.
4 days. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, so pretty much we went to they have like these little, as well as the large shopping street district areas where there's, you know, just souvenir shop after souvenir shop after every other kind of store you can imagine. They also have, we went to a place called Golden Guy, which is like these little tiny small alleyways that have all these little bars and little restaurants that only seat like 5 people or so. And you just kind of, very small. And, you know, you just kind of wander through there and try to find a place that has an open seat. And we did do that. We found one, and they put signs and stuff out. Some of them don't cater to foreigners, and it'll say on a sign, like, you know, no English here, and that, you know, like they don't speak it, but we kind of took that as like, you know, they would rather not serve foreigners. Just, I think mostly because they feel bad they can't give you a good representation of service if they can't communicate properly with you. So they prefer to just, but so we
found I like that actually. Set your expectations. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so there's cool little places like that.
How was the food?
It was very different. I will say that it's most of the, you know, traditional Japanese food that we encounter. It's very seafood heavy, and I am not a big fan of seafood, so I struggled. My husband loved it. He loves, you know, any kind of sushi. He's very adventurous.
I'd be having sushi everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so good.
And see, their sushi like is different than the sushi that I'm used to. Like their sushi is very much just like a cut of fish on some rice. It's not like the rolls where they put like cucumber and avocado and other stuff.
We, and, like, we've Americanized it.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. So, like, that's the kind of sushi I was expecting, and that wasn't common to find at all. So I, you know, mainly just stuck with, like, chicken tempura or something like that. But my husband ate it all. Like, there's, you know, there's takoyaki, which is a, like, a fried, like, dough ball with octopus in it. And it, they put, like, different sauces on it. And it's actually pretty good. We did have takoyaki with Wagyu in it. That was very good.
Oh, yeah.
Wagyu. Another very common thing is okonomiyaki, which is a type of, it's like a pancake. And I believe they make it with, like, cabbage or, like, scallion or something. It's like a it's like a vegetable that they chop up and they mix it with a little bit of flour and stuff, and then they put all kinds of stuff in it, you know, meat or other vegetables or, you know, whatever you want. And then they, like, make it at a table in front of you pretty much. And so that was interesting.
Yeah.
And the Wagyu, that's one of the big things that we wanted to try when we were there. They have, you know, all the little shops, they sell just, like, Wagyu skewers and all that. And that was really good.
That's wild that it's on, like, skewers, you know, it's like, it's such a upcharge around here.
You know? I know, it's so expensive. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you're going to the source.
Right.
Yeah. Did you do the Ghibli Museum? I see that you have that listed there.
Yes. Yep, we did. So I am not super familiar with Ghibli, but my husband is. So that was something he really wanted to do. And it was really cool. Yeah, it was very interesting, very whimsical. I will say that the ticket process for that is kind of complicated. Like, you, and I guess it sells out really fast. You have to buy it, like, a certain day. Like, it the tickets are only released at, like, 30 days prior kind of thing, and you have to, like, make sure you're logged on, and there's always a wait. And so I didn't go through the process, my husband did, but if anybody's interested in that, you have to look it up, and you got to follow some rules there to get those tickets.
Can you tell Anna what the Ghibli Museum is?
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with it. What is it exactly?
It's about a director. I'm not super familiar with, like, it's.
I can Google it and look at it.
Well, like, Studio Ghibli does.
Yeah,
The films are, like, not marketed, but, like, not, they're not produced by Disney, but, like, they're released by Disney. Yeah,
those ones. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. From what I understand, the one guy, I forget his name, but he, like, hand drew every single frame of every movie he made, and he animated it all himself. And so I guess it's like a very unique style of animation because of that. And so the museum shows has all of his artworks on display, like, and shows like his process and, you know, things like that and all of the other projects that he had been working on and things. And it was very neat.
Yeah. Huh. You'd recognize this one. At least the names of the movies you would recognize if you haven't
watched them. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do the a little Googling.
The only one I'd seen is
a little more detail.
Yeah. The only one I'd seen is Howl's Moving Castle, but there's like My Neighbor Totoro is another one. That's a very popular one.
That one has a stage show in the West End in London. It looks amazing. Oh, wow. Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah. So another cool thing we did in Tokyo was we went to the Team Labs Planets, which is like a art museum of sorts, an interactive art museum. And they have, like, this water area. Like, you take off your shoes and you have to, like, wear shorts, and you walk through water basically in the dark and things, and you kind of, like, wander through different themed areas. And, like, one area had, it was like, fish projected on the water as you're walking through it. And, there was other places that had, like, big giant blow up balls that you can, like, throw, you know, like, bigger than a person, and, like, you kind of just wander through these mirrored rooms, and it was a very neat place to go.
Why is it Why is it barefoot in water?
I think it's like a sensory thing.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah.
And like you would walk over like things that like felt like grass or pebbles and like things like that. And
that's cool.
Yeah, I think it was just a.
That sounds neat. Something different. It was cool. Yeah, sounds really cool.
Yeah.
We definitely don't have anything like that around here that I'm aware of. That would be cool.
Yeah, really.
That's cool. Before we move on to Kyoto, is there anything like super cool that you did in Tokyo that I'm sure was multiple things?
Yeah, we did do a street karting, which most people call it like Mario Kart, but it's like you go and drive like these little go-karts along the streets, and you can dress up as, you know, Super Nintendo characters or any anime characters, depending on the company you go with. And so my husband dressed up as Naruto and I put on some jacket from some other anime I'm not familiar with. And we drove around and it was really cool. We were the only people that did it in our group. We did it at like 12 p.m. and I guess most people do it at night because it's, you know.
Are you driving like on the city streets with other cars and stuff?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was that like nerve wracking? Like, yes. I feel like that would like terrify me.
Yeah. It was scary. But
your husband really took you on an adventure on this trip.
Yeah.
And I hope he knows you are a good, good wife for I don't know that I could have done that. I'd have been terrified.
That's awesome.
Typically they have like a person in the front and a person in the back, like a guide, but because there was only two of us, they only had one in the front, and my car stalled at a red light and they turned left, like, because they drive on the left side of the street. So they turned right, mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm stuck at the stoplight, and I don't know how the lights work in Tokyo. They're different than in America. They drive on the wrong side of the road, different road rules. Like, they don't have arrows to say, like, oh, okay, now you can turn right with a green arrow. And so, like, I sat there for like an entire rotation of the lights, and I, like, cars around me, trucks, everything. And I'm like,
oh my god,
I'm
supposed to
drive. I can't believe that's a thing.
Yeah.
I think I would have killed him.
Yeah. I was very scared, but the light turned green and nobody else went. So I'm like, okay, maybe this means I'm supposed to go. So I just went and I didn't die. So.
were you in the very back? Did they just not see that you had stalled and like went on and didn't realize that you weren't there? Okay.
Yeah. And then the light turned red. And so I couldn't turn. Mm-hmm. So it was, and I thought that they were like, the guide was like going to come over and like.
And help.
Help or something. But he just, they pulled off to the side and just sat there waiting. And I'm like, thinking the guide's going to be like, at some point, like, give me a hand signal, like, yeah, now, go now.
Yeah, go like, now. But no, he just kind of sat there and stared at you like, is she coming?
Yeah.
What's happening?
But,
once I called up, I'd have been like, you're in the back now, buddy. I just told my husband, you're in the back. I'm in the middle.
Like, I'm going to be, you're behind me now. Because if that ever happened to me again, I would freak out.
Mm-hmm. That is wild. Oh, my gosh.
But so that was the only crazy thing that happened, thankfully.
It's nice. just part of the adventure. I love it.
Yeah. Makes for
good. So then you guys from there, you took the bullet train to Kyoto. How was the bullet train?
It was nice. So we paid for the
first
class.
I've only seen the movie
seats.
Bullet Train and it looked cool.
it was very nice. Very comfortable seats. We paid for first class just because, you know, we wanted to experience it. And, you know, you get like a bento box or something from the station before you go or something to drink. And you just sit there and it just cruises right along. We got to Kyoto, I think it was like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Okay. Did you set that up ahead of time? the tickets, or did you get them like once? Okay, so that's something you would do ahead of time.
Yeah, but you don't have to. So I bought them before we left for Japan, but we didn't. That was the only ones that we bought because we weren't sure of what time we'd be wanting to go from Kyoto to Osaka or from Osaka back to Tokyo. So you can also just go and buy them the day of, like right in the station, or you can go online and buy them day of. So that's what we did for the other. We did take the bullet train from Kyoto to Osaka, even though you don't need to, because it's only like a 45 minute regular train ride. But we were just like, we want to get there in 15 minutes. So we bought that from the train station like day of, and was like, the next train out, put us on it, let's go. And
so how much time does it knock off the trip from?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I want to say like it's at least an hour, maybe more, from like Tokyo to Kyoto. From Kyoto to Osaka, like it was like 15 minutes versus like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And they do have different speeds of bullet train. Like there's more direct ones. Like we took the one with the least stops. There are other ones that have more stops in between that would take a little bit longer.
How many nights, how long did you stay in Kyoto?
Kyoto, we were there for five nights.
Five nights. Okay.
Yeah. And we stayed at, our hotel was at Kyoto Station, which is the main station. That's where like the Shinkansen, the bullet train pulls into. Our hotel was attached to it right there. And that was really nice.
Yeah.
Very convenient. I will say that the train stations in Japan in general are enormous. They have entire shopping malls in their stations, like with like hundreds of stores and restaurants and stuff. It's insane. Like it's a whole city just within a single station, and there's so many of them. It's crazy. Wow. We didn't really see a whole lot of people walking along the streets. Everybody was underground. It was weird.
Yeah.
So they walk.
They're all in the subway. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. They're like, there's just miles of like tunnels that you can like just walk.
You can just walk.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Like that's a lot of stations are like interconnected by tunnels. So it's like, you can just walk into one station, some areas, that was mostly in Osaka. Mm-hmm. You walk into one station and you walk a mile and you're underground and you're at another station. Like, and then all along the way, there's stores and restaurants and stuff everywhere. Huh.
Wow.
Okay. So I see a couple of super cool things that like kind of stood out to me that you did in Kyoto. One of them is this samurai museum, a ninja experience. star throwing and blow darts. My niece just had a ninja themed birthday party, and she does like not karate, but whatever. So she would be all over this. So yeah, this sounds really cool. I want to hear about this.
Yeah, so this was something that my husband found. It was a package deal. I don't know where he found it, but it was at the Samurai Museum in Kyoto, and you get a private guided tour of the museum. Then you get to do a one-hour kendo class, which is like Japanese martial arts with like swords and stuff. And
yeah, that sounds cool. And,
that's cool.
Didn't you learn your lesson about the go-karts?
I know. Yeah. Now they're slinging around swords. And
I know.
Well, to be fair, they give you it's a wooden sword. It's not a real sword.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but still, you give me a wooden sword, I can hurt somebody with that. I'm just saying.
You'll poke your eye out.
Right?
And then as you go through the museum, they have like a ninja star throwing area, which the stars are rubber, so you know there's no risk of getting hurt, but they teach you how to throw it, and they have like foam bullseyes for you to throw them at. And the blow dart activity was not attached to the museum. It was at a different location that was like a 5-minute walk away from the museum. And so we went in there, and they weren't actual darts. They were a different type of contraption, but you put the thing into like a tube, and then you would blow them at like a foam bullseye. And that was really fun. It was a lot easier than the Ninja Stars.
Or you blow them at your husband for putting you on the Mario Kart driving through the city.
Right. Yeah.
We're getting him back for this at some point. So. Well, that sounds really cool. And then a tea ceremony with kimonos. That sounds kind of cool too. Because I love tea.
So that sounds
really neat.
We went to this traditional tea house that was, you know, had beautiful gardens and everything. And it was like very, I want to say it was, I don't know if it was like an original house or if it was just built to look like it, but it looked like an original building that had been there forever. And so they separate the men and the women, and they take you in, and they have like ladies that like dress you and like do your hair and like put the garments on you, tie it up and everything, and like do like a whole it's interesting. Like, you know, there's like two or three ladies that are just like pawing all over you to like put this thing on and tie it up, and like it like sucks you in and everything. It was quite an experience that like this is what they did every day when the women wore kimonos and everything. And I mean, I guess the men, I don't know the men's process of like if they had to do all the same type of stuff, but they didn't look as stiff walking around as the ladies were.
So did your husband get a robe and everything too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then after that, they let us into the tea room, and you sit on the ground and on the tatami mat floors in their tea room, and they tell you about the traditions and the processes of how they brew the tea and the proper way of they're very like ritualistic, where they like the way they clean the tea pots and like all the utensils they use, the way they brew it, the way they serve it, and everything. It all has a rhyme and a reason, and it was very interesting to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
And they serve green tea and little treats. I don't know what they were, but they were nothing I'd ever had before, but they were good. Like, you know, something.
That sounds really cool.
Traditional. Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah. Anything else about Kyoto? Because we've still got to talk about Osaka. Golly, I mean, this is 17 days of.
Yeah. The other. So I will say that
talk about.
Kyoto was our favorite place. The other thing that we did that was very worth mentioning is we did a ride on the Sagano Romantic Train, which is a scenic train through the mountains. But it's only 25 minutes, and it's not that far out of Kyoto. And they have an open air car, so you can like, there's no roof or windows or anything, so you can see everything 360. And beautiful. And it went up.
I bet that was incredible.
It was, yeah. And we went up the mountain along the river, and then when we got off of that, we went and did a rafting trip back down the river, and that was on the I have it written down, Hosugawa boat ride on the Hosugawa River, and it takes like 2 hours, and you're just in these like wooden boats, and there's like three guides that are like paddling you down the river, and they talk to you about things, about different areas along the river and point out, landmarks and this, that, and whatever. And it was very cool. It was very, very in nature, which was exactly what we needed after being in a city for so, you right. know, for a while.
That sounds right. awesome.
Yeah, that sounds really yeah. cool.
Pretty. Yeah.
And I see it takes you to like a bamboo forest.
Oh,
like
yes, yeah. So it ends at
I love bamboo, but
the so Arishima bamboo forest, mm-hmm. which is like the most popular bamboo forest in Kyoto. And okay. when they say that that is crowded and you need to get there early if you want to experience it peacefully, they are not kidding. It really? Was no. it was absolutely packed. And so we kind of just sped walked through it and we're like, you know, we'll just go and find like a lesser known bamboo area and go and check that out. And mm-hmm. it was very crowded, but we got there at like 12, 1 o'clock. So it was like the height of, you know, prime time for people to be there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then from Kyoto, you took the bullet train again. And like you said, it was just a quick 15 minutes to yeah. Osaka. And then, so you spent yeah. the rest of your time in Osaka, of course, minus the couple of days, yeah. Before heading home. But, so then Osaka, you had a few days in Osaka.
Yeah. Yeah. So Osaka felt like more so just a mini Tokyo. Like it was,
oh, okay.
it was very much, shops and, restaurants, food. Like, you know, yeah. the most tourist thing that we like would hear a lot about is Dotonbori Street, which mm-hmm. is just a street that's lined with all of these restaurants and shops and things, and it's all about the food there. And we mm-hmm. went and checked that out. It was extremely crowded, as everything is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it kind of just really felt like another Tokyo. Like we went down and explored so many shopping streets in Tokyo that it was like, oh, okay, this is exactly what Tokyo yeah. felt like and looked like. Mm-hmm. By that time in our trip, we were both so exhausted that we had planned so many more things, but we really were like, I'm just too tired for this.
So you gotta build in those rest days. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'd say like we did most of our day trips from Osaka. We went to Himeji Castle, which was amazing. The Kokoen Gardens, which is included with your ticket to Himeji Castle, is 100% worth mm-hmm. it. That was one of my favorite places we went. It was so beautiful. Koi ponds and like just beautiful. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And we went to Nara, where you, there's deer, like hundreds and hundreds of deer just roaming around, and you can feed them, and you know, they mm-hmm. don't really want you to like pet them, but they come up to you and they like, there's these crackers you can buy to feed them with, and they will chase you down and they will and they will not leave you alone until you put your hands up and show them you don't have anything to give them. Then they'll walk away. But
wow. So it's like dealing with a toddler, like, no, yeah. see, nothing left.
Yes.
I'm thinking or of the like new, them.
Or my dog. See?
Or the new puppy in my house. The new puppy in my house. See? Dealer. I'm a blackjack dealer. Nope.
I'm thinking of those petting zoos where like you see kids get tackled by the goats and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. They would come up and headbutt you and everything. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Not very hard, but
right.
you yeah. know, they would.
But enough to get your attention to say, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I would like a cracker, please.
Yeah.
One thing that I'm noticing. One thing that I noticed that's missing from all of this is anything to do with Godzilla. So does your husband not like Godzilla?
No, he does. Yeah. So they do have like in Tokyo, they have like a giant mm-hmm. Godzilla head on top of a building. It's mm-hmm. on top of, I think, of a hotel. And yeah, we did go and look at that. But yeah. Other than that, I don't feel like we didn't really seek out anything that was like Godzilla related. They had a lot of like toys and merchandise.
That's what my husband
merchandise.
Yeah. Yeah. He yeah. did buy like 3 Godzilla shirts.
Nice.
But other than that, there may be more that you could do for that, but it wasn't something that we, he was
it
more
high,
interested
high
in
list.
Anime stuff. Like he did so yeah. much
gotcha.
Shopping for anime figurines and clothes and everything. It was
so did like, you bring home a whole nother suitcase full of
stuff? So we each packed a large suitcase, and then we packed our clothes into a carry-on size suitcase and put that inside of a big suitcase and traveled with that. And we each...
That's smart.
Yeah, we came back with filled... All of our suitcases were filled. So,
wow.
That's awesome. I love that.
I like that.
Lots. The only other thing in Osaka that I really liked that we did was we went to Osaka Castle, and that was really cool. You get to go up inside and check it all out and look around from the rooftop. And we went to a neighboring restaurant. It was called Bluebird's Rooftop Terrace, and it's right there. Like, you sit on the rooftop in comfortable chairs, order drinks, food, and you, like, your view of Osaka Castle, it's like right there. It was really a really nice place to view the castle without having, you know, a lot of crowds.
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that we could probably talk for another 2 hours, you know, with all the things that Angela did in Japan, but we don't have to. But that's our show for this week. So thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. So thank you, Angela, for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
My first podcast experience.
Yes. Well, you will be back. So on behalf of Donna, Sandy, and myself, Anna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.